This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Burke in the Game, an iHeartRadio podcast.
So people think that I'm this happy-go-lucky girl cha-cha-ing around the dance floor, dancing on a huge show for so many years now and with so many different partners, and that I just live this glamorous life. But really, I am just a normal human being, just like anybody. And I have gone through so much, I guess, so many ups and downs in my life and trauma. And I am just trying to really take life day by day and trying to be as vulnerable and open and at the same time. And with that is comes the good, the bad, and the ugly. When I wake up in the morning, it is very quiet in this house. And that is something very new because of me now living here alone as opposed to when I was living here when I was married. And it is definitely sad at times, especially when I wake up and especially when I go to sleep. But I try to meditate, journal. It's just me and my Frenchie. You know, I take her for a walk, feed her. And, you know, she really has been my source of sanity because she makes me get up, take her for walks. I think if she wasn't in my life, I probably would just have never, I would never leave my house. You know, I tend to just crawl into my introverted self when anything big happens in my life that may be of trauma or turmoil. I tend to blame myself for any type of relationship that has failed in my life, whether that be just someone I was dating for a few years or even the marriage that I had that now I don't have. You know, divorce isn't something that I am proud of by any means. And especially, you know, coming from a divorced family, it has made me look at my life and just really blame. I mean, I guess I do blame myself. I blame myself for anything bad that happens, right? I tend to do that. And it has been a lot to swallow. I know that I am not ready to date at this moment in time today, but I know that I need to make changes within myself in order to first date and then also eventually have a successful partnership or relationship or maybe marriage. Who knows? I can't tell the future. But for me, it has been, I've been really curious about how, you know, and why a lot of my relationships or every single one really has not worked out. And I can only point the finger at myself, right? And so I'm not saying it's all my fault, but I can only change myself. And so this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make the steps toward living a healthy relationship or wanting to meet somebody who is nice to me or wanting to be able to be the best version of me before I even get there. I would say that one of my problems or one of the things that I want to work on is not being so controlling, not micromanaging everything because it's fucking exhausting. Like I'm so tired of thinking that I can control everything around me when there isn't enough hours in the day, even if there were. I actually don't have that power. And I know that in order for me to really practice what I'm preaching, I have to turn my life over to someone else. And what better way than to turn it over to you guys? Well, I'm scared shitless to hand my life over to a bunch of strangers, but yet I know that if I don't do this, if I don't take this risk and step out of my comfort zone, that I just won't do that. I will literally just be here at home with my dog and never meet anybody and then go to work, right? At the end of the day, this is not the way I want to live my life. And I know that that's not the road to happiness. I have to be able to take accountability. And that's what I'm doing here. All right. So Sam Rubin, KTLA's Sam Rubin / podcast dad, officially.
I said podcast big brother, but we'll take podcast dad.
Yeah, it's just it's shorter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Welcome to Burke in the Game.
Are you ready?
No, I'm scared shitless.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
But here's the thing that's so interesting to me, because you've done other tightrope things in a very public way, but this gets you more scared. Why?
Are you referring to like shaking my bonbon on television?
Right. Very successfully, I might add.
Well, see, since I was a little girl, that's always been my way of communicating, was through body language and through dance. And so that, to me, I can dance in front of millions of people all day. But to be vulnerable and to be open and to really just try not to micromanage this whole situation is going to take a lot.
Why do you think we're at this point? Why do you think this is what you need to be doing?
Well, you know, clearly I can't choose love on my own, right? Like I need guidance. I need to also, this whole divorce thing has really been quite a roller coaster ride of emotions. And it hasn't been easy for me to really try to rebuild my life. As you know, you're here in my home. It's just me and my dog. I don't have a lot of help, you know, so like I'm just like trying to get through day by day and taking this whole process one day at a time. But I also know that I tend to just hide out, like, and I won't really, other than my therapist, I won't really talk about how I'm feeling or even go out to dinners or anything. So I know that this will help when it comes to maybe not being so scared of being in social groups.
Do you sometimes, and I think there are all these sort of aftermaths of divorce.
Yeah.
Do you think you have a bad picker?
Wait, what do you mean?
That sometimes when a relationship fails, it's like, you know, I just picked badly.
Well, you know, I think people evolve, honestly. And, you know, I'm not here to badmouth, you know, my soon to be ex-husband. I am here just to be as open as possible and just say, listen, you know, there's room for growth always. And I'm always going to be a work in progress. And I think some people grow together and some people don't, and that's okay, you know. And I just have to, the hardest thing for me was to have that self actualization and realization on like, okay, this is what it is, and I can't really judge anybody else for that path that they choose to be on.
Some people think in a superficial way, and some of these things aren't necessarily okay. You have this thriving career. Mm-hmm. You're beautiful. You're fit and talented. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You can do all these things. That I don't want to say puts you ahead.
Like I'm like privileged.
Right. Well, no. But it would be, gee, I'd like to be her.
Right.
I'd like to be her being single in LA.
Well, listen, it's not that glamorous. And I think that I am just like everybody. You know, this has really been a shit show, this whole process. And especially lately, because I've never gone through this before. And, you know, with social media and seeing everyone's comments, and most may not be all positive.
Sure.
It affects me. I mean, to the point where I take off the app when I'm on Dancing with the Stars, because it literally will dictate my emotions.
You see, that's something where I don't, I mean, I'm not the first person to tell you this. That's where I think one has to have the sort of tortoiseshell back, because
yes, or you just show your feelings.
Right,
like we are human at the end of the day. No matter if we're dancing a samba in front of millions of people, I am a human being, just like Joe Schmo is a human being, and we all have feelings. And no one wants to look at something that they're maybe looking for positive feedback, and then see someone say, "Well, you barely even tried in your marriage." Right. You know, like it's just hurtful.
That's so So far afield. But another thing that I was thinking about, and I always refer to it as the first administration of the second administration. So I was married once before.
Oh, I like the first administration.
Yeah, so like that.
It's very political.
Yeah, I thought so too. And the thing when I got divorced, which I had never failed at anything.
Right.
And I was very consumed with the idea that I had failed at this, or the thing was a failure.
You never failed at one thing?
I mean, I'd, you know, done things not well,
right.
but I'd never, you know, belly flopped where something, I don't know, became nothing.
Right. How long were you married? Your first
18 years.
Holy crap.
So I was really like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting opposite a therapist, and that was one thing, you know, the therapist used an interesting word. He said, we need this merits an inquest. Like, what happened? Mm. And so
what happened?
What I thought.
It's Ruben in the game.
Right,
now.
There we go. What I thought was so, well, you know what's funny, and I maybe we'll in the process share some of those experiences. I think this happens for a lot of men, about 2 years later, very happily remarried. We've been married for 15 years.
Wow.
So it is not.
How long did it take you to get back into the dating process?
It was really, gosh. And I vividly remember my first date with somebody that actually some of the people working behind the scenes here know.
Oh, really?
And it was so, in retrospect, it was so misguided. But,
you know, people think that there's like a whole timeline.
Right.
That we must follow.
Right.
And it's probably different. Like the word dating makes me want to choke and like bust out into hives, because like I'm not even close to being ready.
You see, it's I've always, the word dating to me just means, to me, it means you're going out for dinner.
I don't think I could even do that.
Really?
Like, but remember, I suffer from social phobia.
Right.
And I actually hate leaving my home unless if I'm,
well, we'll order in.
Getting paid, but, or or Postmates.
Right.
And the Postmates driver is my best friend.
Right.
And so is Amazon. But at the end of the day, it's, I have to get over a lot of hunches. And I think that that's why I want to try to see what happens, I guess, when I put my fate into someone else's hands or many people's hands, and just try and be a little bit more open-minded. I'm a very controlling person. I'd like to say that I used to be controlling, but I still am.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think, having gone through a marriage, now reaching the conclusion of that marriage, have you learned anything? What have you learned?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I do believe, back to the failure thing that you mentioned, the word failure has such a bad connotation,
right?
Like it's just like, ooh, and everyone's so scared of it. But really, without that, how do you succeed in general, right? Because without the failure, there is no, you know, succeeding in anything,
right.
I don't believe. And I think I experience it quite a lot, especially with being a competitor and an athlete. Like, I fail more than I'll ever be able to succeed in that definition of that, right? But I think that I've learned so much, not just about marriage and communication and stuff like that, but I've learned a lot about me and how, in a good way too, like, I actually am proud of myself for being able to evolve and kind of see clearly, you know, what I want in life. And sometimes it's okay to know that it may change. I mean, this is part of the human race. We evolve, right? And I think that I've been trying to, I know I'm just probably preaching, which my therapist could vouch for, but it's important to do so and do so with grace. But I've caught myself many times judging myself for not grieving the way I should be, whatever that means in my head. I'm not crying enough. I'm not, you know, depressed. I'm just like throwing myself into projects. But like, look, it's like an alcoholic. Like, also what I suffer from is just, it's one day at a time.
Precisely one day at a time.
Or and one then, step at a time. Or then, one second at
but,
a time.
But, yeah. but one thing, and I don't, this is, some people view this as a consolation. Maybe it isn't. The totality of this relationship was how long?
Well, remember, we dated from the beginning, like over a decade ago. Right?
Okay.
So that was a year. Then we reunited in, I would say, beginning of 2017 or end of 2016.
So 5 years for the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Five, six.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I was going to say that's it, number one. That is a substantial amount of time.
But who's judging?
But it's not. I don't know.
It's not 18 years.
It's not 18 years.
It's not 18 years. No. But again, is it better to stay in a marriage when?
Well, no. I was going to say to your credit,
right?
To your great credit,
right?
It's very important to recognize.
Totally.
Hey, this is.
But also, I gave it a shot. Like we both did. Really, we really did. And I think that, you know. Again, people evolve. I'm not here to obviously badmouth or tell people the gossip behind my divorce. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to move forward and hopefully do so with the support from the listeners and from my podcast dad, and hopefully learn new things along the way.
Well, what do you hope? Okay, I think you framed that very well. Are there, you know how that is sometimes where, gosh, I feel deficient in this or deficient in that. What do you hope to learn?
I'm deficient in most things.
Okay.
Like I lived like an Olympian when I was younger, right? So everything was like just revolved around ballroom dancing,
right,
and trying to get a trophy. And so you'd be shocked. Like I just taught myself how to do my own laundry.
Okay.
That sounds crazy.
Right.
I still don't cook. But like I've been really into spirituality and meditating and stuff lately. But like, I haven't done a lot of stuff. Like I don't know basic skills of living, especially on my own with like, you know, the sprinkler was like spraying my garbage cans outside the other day, or like not having an assistant. Like I'm doing everything on my own.
Wouldn't it be nice though, let's say, to meet somebody who like could show you how to throw together?
I'm not even ready for that. That
really?
actually makes me a little ill.
Okay.
Yeah. Like to have, I think I need to love myself and get to know me first, because I feel like I owe that to myself.
Right.
Before I could even think about sharing my life with somebody else again.
Okay. But there's a very, see, it's so funny. And I think maybe it's a gender distinction. Having dinner with somebody
it's just
it's just a door opener. It doesn't necessarily mean you're sharing your life at all.
And I'm learning.
You might not even be sharing dessert.
Right. Like, so you're saying there's like a gray area.
Right.
Right. And I don't know what that means yet.
Okay.
So like I'm very black or white.
Right.
And when someone like a woman goes to dinner with a man, I have this thing in my head that it just shows that you're wanting to date or maybe even sleep with the person, or like that gives permission for the guy to like, oh, you needed my jacket. Like,
right.
I also have realized through this divorce that I have no patience for small talk, and I have no patience for not having deep conversations. Like I'm all about deep conversations, and this is what I'm learning as I go through this. It's like I don't have to have patience for that, you know, and I feel like that's what dates are right now, and I just can't do the swipe left or have small talk.
All right. Very okay. When you initially get to know the stars that you have so successfully
I'm
paired
like,
up with,
hi, let's dry hump.
Really?
I mean, that's what Dancing with the Stars is.
Yeah, right.
With clothes on.
Yeah, okay. Wow, that's an interesting opener,
but
as
they
would say.
But I get to know somebody from the moment I shake their hand.
Right.
Like, I can actually tell you if you feel confident about yourself or if you're a little insecure by just your handshake.
Okay.
Well, that makes me want to shake. So, no.
And then sometimes, I've had great luck playing Cupid, and I know we're going to let the listeners do that.
Are you a live dating app?
I've done pretty well. Four marriages to my credit.
Are they still married?
Three of the four.
Okay.
So
not
I've done,
bad.
I
and
think
what
I've
was
done,
the age range?
The age range. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about your age range.
Yes.
But the
90.
You're, okay. Well,
preferably not talking. Okay.
Well, there you've answered your own question.
That's why I'm here.
But no, I would say mostly I fixed people up who went on to marriage in their 30s or 40s.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 38.
Okay.
Yes.
And what do you, in your mind, and these things are probably superficial barriers, but you are interested in people of what age range?
I this is how not ready I am.
Okay.
I haven't even gone that far yet.
All right. All right.
Definitely needs to be my age or older. I'm not all about
models
or anything.
Okay. You don't want to go, you don't want to go 22, but
no, or,
you should be open to younger as well.
Right. Because I mean, how much younger? What do you mean?
Open a little bit younger.
Like how much?
35.
It really just depends on the conversation we have, right?
Okay.
If they're willing to have deep conversations and dive deep with me, then, you know, maybe we'll see. But
all right.
I highly doubt a 35-year-old would, just saying.
Well, I can see this is going to be sort of a tough nut to crack.
Clearly, this is why I almost cannot even, I mean, I have my opinion, but I need to be forced to do certain things, which is where the listeners come in.
Well, you know? I've always had great faith in audiences. And
oh,
so I
gosh.
Think.
I hope they have my best interest at heart.
Right. That too.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
So welcome back, guys, to Burke in the Game. And I have a very special guest who's known me for close to a decade and has played a vital role in my life in general, but also through this whole divorce process, has held my hand through it all, really. Thank God for her. My therapist is here joining us. Sam, meet Dr. Ann Wexler.
Dr. Wexler, hello. And then one thing that's very, people are listening like, wait, her therapist?
Yes.
But tell me the arrangement you guys have made.
So basically, I have signed a waiver. As I want to try and be as open as possible, I signed a waiver with Dr. Wexler saying that, look, you could just air my dirty laundry and all of it without obviously mentioning names and trying, you know, whatever. But she would never anyway. So you have permission to I'm literally sweating in places that you don't want to know about. But yes, you have the permission to just talk freely as if me and you were in a session.
I have the permission
with my
to
podcast.
Say,
right.
Okay, just say anything that I know.
Dr. Wexler, what's her problem?
Oh, first of all, have you not read Oprah's book? You have to ask what happened to her.
Right.
What's Cheryl's problem? Yeah. Why is she in this position?
Right.
Well, you were saying earlier that she has a bad picker. I think that is the simplification of it, but absolutely true. Mm. There's been a series of guys that are just, you know, bad boys. Yeah. And not bad boys like, you know, cool hip, whether wearing a leather jacket, bad boys, like really bad guys who have, she's had abusive relationships. She's had domestic type violence and a lot of controlling men and cheaters and liars and all of it. Mm-hmm. So she needs to do a better job picking.
But first, that has all to do with, though, myself. Right? Maybe that's what I feel like I deserve.
Right.
Okay. And then the naive listener and a naive me is going to say, and again, these might be superficial characteristics. She's famous. She's successful. She's super accomplished. Why? Like, those are all pluses. Why would she think she doesn't deserve that?
Or are they pluses?
Aren't they pluses?
Well,
maybe not.
I mean, I've been a psychologist in Beverly Hills for 30 years working with many celebrities, and they have the same problems as everyone else. It's the same stuff. They have slightly different angles where people, they have to worry about, does someone want me because I'm famous or wealthy or whatever? But other than that, they're just like everyone else.
And let's rewind for a little bit. Why do we perform? we perform, I believe, for that, I guess, justification, that like that reassurance that we are good. Like, think about it. Like when during the pandemic, when I was dancing, there was no one clapping. It was the hardest thing. I don't think I would still be in this business if there was like all of a sudden no audience.
See, that's so interesting, because I think people find their place, and I think you and your colleagues perform because you're really good at it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I love the mentality, yes. Yeah. And I love like always competing, and I only know that. I only right. know that side. But it's for something. It's to maybe deep down subconsciously, it's for the round of applause, maybe.
Well, and could it be for healthy attention, that you need healthy attention? People think it's unhealthy attention.
Right.
But what if getting healthy attention in an intimate relationship feels frightening, and it feels more comfortable to get attention from people who are far away from you and clapping?
So like my loved one has to stand up, standing ovation every time I walk through the door?
Okay. No, because that'd be too close. Right. No, the idea is that, and this is certainly not universally
right.
No, true.
You're right. And maybe the way we were raised, right?
Right. But, and it might be true for you yeah. that you're more comfortable with the less intimate attention.
I think you're right.
What one thing, and again, I think one thing that's going to be very beneficial about this whole
Experiment.
I was going to say social experiment.
It's an experiment.
One thing that's going to be beneficial about this whole experiment is there's a lot of, I think, phraseology that sometimes people are not entirely familiar with. Uh-huh. So the idea that Cheryl should work on herself, what does that mean?
Well, partly for Cheryl, it means really getting to know herself on a deeper level and not being someone that is just there to please others, like to make other people happy. When you're a professional dancer, professional athlete, you've spent your entire life trying to please people. You're a coach, your trainer, your TV producer, whoever.
Yeah.
And that generalizes to men.
Especially as a partnering ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
That's all that we do.
So she needs to learn who she is, what she wants, what matters to her more than what matters to someone else. I've said to her many times, you have to put your own needs first. And she looks at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah. And then also what you've said as well, that I look at you like you're crazy, is like the trusting myself, like
yeah.
knowing that what I'm feeling is right always.
And you second guess yourself?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You'd be so shocked.
Yeah, because we all have that inner voice that's telling us, you know, when you're out on a date, when you're out to dinner going, nah, this isn't it. Nah, I got to go home. But then Cheryl ignores it.
Yeah, because also... yeah, it's just developing that trust. It's like, even with these abusive relationships that Anne talked about, it was like, did he really, I'm not saying this was happening in my marriage
sure.
by any means. I want to make that clear. But it was like, do I really have these bruises on my body? And I second guess that as well. Like, and so I would always end up going back to that same person constantly.
I just want to clarify that it sounds really far out there when you say
right.
that, but the
no,
truth is it's very real. She's not the only one who does this, where she'll have an argument with a friend, let's mm-hmm. say, or whoever, and she'll tell me about the argument, and within a week, she's doubting that that's what actually happened.
Yeah.
I have to say to her, well, last week you told me you said this and that other person said this.
And it's a whole other reality in
right.
my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
By then.
She's shifted what's true in her mind to make herself the bad one.
Yeah. It's true.
Wow.
Actually, now that you say it like that, this is interesting. I like to hear this, because then it really puts everything in, I don't know, it's different when you're the observer, I guess.
Well, it's a conversation
yeah.
Regarding the experiences that you've had.
Yeah.
Going forward, if the listenership found the perfect person, uh-huh. is she ready now or she's not ready now?
She's not ready now.
Okay. And okay, that's another phrase, though.
Will I
ever be ready? Will she ever be ready?
She'll never be as ready as she wants to be.
Okay.
She's going to get a little nudge from me and maybe from you as well, because she's going to have to go out there and get outside of her comfort zone. I always say to her, you don't have to walk a mile outside your comfort zone, but you do need to walk a couple inches outside your comfort
myself?
Zone.
By yourself?
Well, you're not by yourself. And we're then, all here
and
for
then,
you.
And then here's a juxtaposition that, you know, to dance in front of millions of people
yeah.
is an incredibly nervy thing.
Yeah.
Gee, that's got to be way harder than meeting somebody for coffee.
Not if it's not intimate.
Not for Cheryl.
See, is that...
Yeah. So I'll never see these people again.
Right. Well, and the thing is, have you ever met someone who's really great socially, social butterfly, great at a party, but then they don't have long-lasting relationships.
Right.
Because they're really good at one level of socializing. But the next level, the more intimate level, is terrifying. And that's Cheryl.
You're looking at her.
And then what,
it's not like I don't have long. I mean, like, right. Look, yes, but right. She means intimate.
Right? I mean, right. Yes, and I don't. I was not speaking of you, no. But I mean that a part of that
still
is
a
you.
Part of it,
yeah, because you have had long-lasting intimate relationships, mm-hmm. But there's fear.
Yes,
for
it's
you,
fear-based. A yeah. Lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's like sort of peeling an onion to a degree. Are you ever right. Surprised? I imagine, and we'll use Cheryl as the example because it's her show and we're here.
Yeah.
She walked into the office, and you thought. A, and then as things progressed, it was not A.
How long has it been?
Oh,
it's been like
seven, eight years. Yeah. When she first walked in, honestly, she carried herself, from my perspective, as an insecure woman. And today she carries herself far more securely. The way she stood, the way she greeted me, it was, I could tell that she didn't believe in herself to some degree.
I was also heavily drinking then.
Ah. Yeah.
As well, which is not an excuse. I totally hear you. Yeah.
Which I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have been very, and you and I have talked about this many times, and we've talked about it publicly, you've been very candid about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a sidebar thing, or does that need to be looked
Look,
at
I
too?
Think,
or?
I mean, I can just answer for me personally that I feel like I'm relearning myself because I am a different person sober, and I don't have anything to really numb as far as be a different person because I'm foggy up in the head area.
Well, and the thinking about addiction and alcoholism is that there's a delay or like a stop in your development and growth emotionally and mentally. So for however many years, how many years was it?
When I was 21, actually. Yeah.
So a lot of years.
Right.
And so there is a delay. They say people who, let's say, did it for 10 years are 10 years younger psychologically.
Right.
And then if you've got child molestation involved and then abusive, you know, the list goes on. So technically I'm 5 years old.
Okay. What one thing that I've had friends who have, been single after college and then whatever, married and then single again in 40s. And one, I don't want to use the word gripe, but I guess I'll be honest and use the word gripe. Gosh, everybody has so much baggage now.
Or is it just everyone's voicing it maybe more?
Well, I think when we're in our 20s, there's a lot of fantasy involved in marriage and relationship. It's like we meet someone and within a year or two we're engaged and there's this whole fantasy element of what the spouse is going to be. By the time you're divorced and doing it again, that fantasy's gone. The worst
movies.
Has happened.
It's The Notebook.
It's The Notebook.
Shame
notebook,
on them.
Right. Yeah.
I use the word prescription in quotes. Mm-hmm. What's the prescription for Cheryl?
She has to get to know who she is. She has to...
Well, let's stop there for a second.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, if I ask you, Cheryl, can you name...
Oh, come on. This is bullshit.
Can you name three traits about yourself?
I am loyal and trustworthy. I am... Am I on the right
path?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. It's like, what is my favorite color? I'm loyal and trustworthy. I am dependable and a hard worker.
Okay, so stop for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Any guy in the world wants a woman who's loyal and trustworthy, who is dependable. Because that's the Southern California dilemma. Nobody's dependable.
And not a hard worker.
And not
though.
A hard worker.
Not.
No, they do want.
I don't believe that. Not all men.
Okay.
I do think that being a very hard worker is sometimes hard.
But I'm like hard worker.
Okay.
I'm not like a hard worker. I'm like a hardcore worker.
She's hyper productive.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's hard about that for men at times that she's dated in the past or that she may date in the future is that they feel they have to be very productive as well. They can't chill out. They can't relax. They have to keep up with her. And no one's going to keep up with her.
No, I have that feeling right.
Yeah.
Which is actually, I'm not necessarily proud of, by the way.
Right.
Right.
It's got good and bad parts.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think the guy you should be with should be as hyperproductive as you.
We would never see each other.
Right.
Right. He should be able to, chill you out a little bit, be able to relax.
I am also very insecure. Like we can add to the list because it's like, I need someone to, at the end of the day, kind of calm me down in that sense,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, okay, one thing that we that you just said, you know, and the guy should be X, Y, or Z. Is the guy the ultimate solution?
No. No.
And is there a misnomer that it always is?
Oh, yeah. It's such a myth. It's such a fantasy that a man or a woman, for anybody, can change your whole life and make you happy again.
Or fix you.
That romantic comedies have done this to. But, yeah, no. The solution is within her.
Amen, sister.
And how does she find that?
So I asked her three traits, and those were good traits, right? She said she's dependable, hardworking, and loyal. So hardworking is the only one of those traits she mentioned that is not relational. Right? Dependable is you.
Somebody, I'm hardworking so I can put a roof over our head.
Right.
Right. But hardworking is just about you. That is just about you.
You're right.
But dependable and loyal, it's not bad. It's not a negative thing.
I need to be nice to myself.
That's another thing. Just pointing out that you have defined yourself more in terms of another. And by the way, women do this. We've been taught to do this from very young. So, you know, usually when I ask women to define themselves, well, I'm really giving and caring and nurturing.
Right, sure.
Yeah, like, but are you also intelligent and interesting and she's funny. Do you know you're funny?
I'm fucking funny.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious.
I am so hysterical. Yeah.
So what do you think people listening to this, I mean, I think as we go along in the process, there, I don't know if there'll be tasks necessarily. How can people help?
Are you nervous that I'm letting people help?
No, I think it's great because I sometimes have this wish that I could choose partners for lots of people because we are all drawn to people that feel familiar, that feel like home. And in some cases, that's great. Look at those happily married people. They've married people that feel like mom and dad.
So like I'm anxious attachment and most likely I'll be with avoidant attachment.
So, and attachment is a whole area of study that relates to relationships. But for Cheryl, you know, she might be drawn to someone that feels like home to her, not as positive a way.
Which is not warm and fuzzy.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm really struck by that feels like home because like the thing that was so funny is my wife's name is Leslie. Mm-hmm. And we met literally on a blind date. And we'd like a blind date.
Okay.
And we, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Immediately felt familiar. And I did not go to her high school, but I went to the one like next door and we had relatively similar up, but that phrase feels like home strikes me tremendously. That's exactly.
So you have good memories with that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, my feel like home is definitely darker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not to say that everything's bad about her family. That's not the case at all. But there are pieces and experiences she's had, specifically things that are traumatic or very difficult, that she's going to seek out without realizing it. And then she's going to be in a relationship with someone who makes her feel that same bad way she felt as a kid in order to work through it.
Okay.
Unless I do it within myself first.
Yes.
I told Dr. Wexler that my wife is not practicing, but has trained as a therapist and has practiced in the past. Mm-hmm. And I used this phrase once, which corrective emotional experience.
Well, that's what they say therapy is.
Right.
But I agree that certain relationships can be a corrective emotional experience. If you, Cheryl, that means that let's say you've never been listened to your whole life and you just don't feel important because no one's ever listened to you. And you meet a man who just raptly listens to you and lets you know you're heard.
You'd be
that
disgusted.
will almost cure that part of you that feels not important enough to be listened to. Mm. It corrects.
Wait, how come I would feel disgusted though? This is a real
Because you're not ready.
Question. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, okay,
it's almost like I don't like the nice guys. No, I'm not going to say like I'm much better than I was, but man, was it really difficult for me to, you know, let that in.
Okay.
Well, and that's going to be a key issue for you.
That's the key issue.
Because a guy who is available, interested, and wants to know you, you might not be open to.
Maybe not. And maybe I would try to trigger him, you know, into like the old patterns. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know I'm not ready by just saying that.
Right.
So maybe we should warn the guy.
Warning.
By the way, be careful.
She's going to test
if you're
you.
Nice.
A couple things you need to know. The fact that she's so physically accomplished, like I'd say that's a plus.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Physically accomplished? What does that mean?
You're an athlete. Oh. You're an athlete. You're a professional athlete.
Oh, like physical. Like, okay. Like
And you're fit. I know you don't like to hear compliments, but you are.
And we're also
fit.
Dealing with body dysmorphia. Jesus, how long do people got? Like, this might take a few years for this experiment. We've got lots of issues.
We need
really
real patience.
Hash out. Right. This onion is a big one. Right. Yeah. Lots of layers.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that has to happen is you have to start orienting yourself to the idea that you should be open to a man who's nice, who's kind.
Totally. I think I am, definitely.
You are what?
Open to meeting a nice man later in life.
We'll see.
But I do, if you remember, like I get really sensitive when I see or when there's any type of triggers for me when it comes to emotional abuse, right?
Yeah.
And so – but what I need to do is instead of cut that person off completely, there is a gray area.
Right.
Right. So like, I think I've gone to the opposite now, but now I need to find that middle where it's like, I can stick up for myself without actually saying you're like out of my life completely.
Right. And that's one of the ways to find out who you are and who the other person is, mm-hmm. is to set that boundary. If someone says or does something that you're not comfortable with, you let them know, I'm not comfortable with this.
And that's what I'm still learning.
Like you were saying earlier, if you go to dinner, it doesn't mean you're ready to sleep with them.
Right. And I
you
always...
You can say no all the way up to the end.
Right.
There are laws about that.
Yeah. People listening to this right now, it's like, my brother's a nice guy. I know this other guy. Mm-hmm. And you hear this lament all the time.
Yeah.
That nice guys don't get anywhere. And it's these
bad
guys.
But do they like to talk deep conversations?
Okay. And it's these bad guys who get everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that, but I think nice guys meet nice women.
That have boundaries.
Yeah. The idea that you would only be able to be with a bad guy or bad boy, like that's not right.
That's very black and white.
Yeah, that has to shift and change. I do think, though.
Half bad, half good?
Okay. Right. It's
so the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Yeah, right.
It's on a spectrum, right? It is gray. It's many, many shades of gray. Mm-hmm. And you just have to slide down the spectrum from very bad to a guy maybe the bad thing he does is, you know, he goes out with you too late at night or something like that. I mean, that's obviously.
The lying, I'm very sensitive.
Honesty is a key thing.
It is. It's actually the number one thing for me.
Yeah.
Or else I feel betrayed right away. I'll never trust you again.
And you have to understand.
And it's the littlest shit.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something as small as a guy says, oh yeah, I just got home. Sorry, I didn't call you. I just got home. But they got home 30 minutes prior.
Right.
She'll be upset.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I've been a little bit better. But yeah.
But, all right, using that as an anecdotal example, isn't that a little much?
Yes. Yes.
Says who, Mr. Judge Mental?
Well, I think no, but I mean, what I think it is that you have to be able to acknowledge. Okay, this makes me uncomfortable.
Yes.
I feel scared that he's lying to me, but this is not. This is what did I used to say? It's a fib.
Well, when it comes to time, yes.
Yeah, time. You got to let go.
But not location.
Like I'm really at this woman's house.
Right. No,
I'm telling her I'm at home.
Why would you say that? Like whatever, you're shopping when you're actually not.
If he's not buying you a gift, that's a problem.
Exactly.
Good lies are okay when they're buying you a gift,
right.
No, I mean you are very sensitive about lying and honesty, and I think that some of the change has to come within you, and be able to think that every expression that is not 100% accurate. Is not a lie.
I just don't get it though. I don't understand. I'm not like that. Like I'm very accurate.
Right.
I mean, I will text it to you and it'll be long, but like it's all based on facts.
I think sometimes when it's sins of omission is what people, you know, it's just, I could tell you the 45 reasons why I didn't call you. It took me half an hour to call you.
I don't want to hear it.
But none of them are interested. You know, it's,
yeah.
You know,
no, right,
I had to unload my car 3 times. So that took 10 minutes. And then I had to let the dog out and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Have you ever dated an insecure woman before?
Not really. No, I you know, because I tell you what, I let me polish my own halo. I feel I have a really good picker.
Okay.
Like I'm friendly with old girlfriends. And I feel for the most part I've picked well.
So you came from a happy home.
But yes, my parents were.
Were they ever divorced?
No. And, you know, it's so funny. And there's obviously a slight age disparity between me and the two of you. But when I went to elementary school, not far, Westwood Elementary School, just down the way, there was one family that was divorced and it was a scandal.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
And you know, and so now it's such a contrast with my kids going to school
all the time.
Yeah, it's nothing at all.
But it was a scandal. Like
it was a huge. Oh my god!
Because they got divorced when the person was still in school. Like
right in like third or fourth grade. It's like yeah. Oh my gosh, she's the only single mother here.
Yeah. And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, no, that's not the case anymore at all.
Wow. But yeah, that makes a big difference. You are who you were raised by in a way, unless you want to change it, I think.
Well, now we'll get to analyzing me. that won't be nearly as interesting or as compelling or as challenging, I think.
Or will it? We'll see. When I get more comfortable with you, Sam, you're screwed.
Yeah. But I do think something you can do to get yourself more ready, to be ready for somebody who's honest but not 100% honest. Because honestly, nobody's 100% honest. Nobody is.
Wait. Okay. Yes. And we'll work that detail out later. Because I'm very, you know, my brain right now is like, well, what if he does? And then this. And it's just it's a lot.
Can I call you out, though?
Yes.
Let me call her out.
You're here to call me out.
So you say you're 100% honest. But the truth is, if someone said to you, hey, can I borrow this? Or do you want to go to this place with me?
And I don't want to go.
And you don't want to go. You would not say, you know, I'm just not comfortable with you borrowing my curling iron or whatever.
I must say, there was a text message exchange with somebody who was like literally asking me for a favor. And I said, actually, I actually don't feel comfortable.
Nice.
And
that's new.
I'm very new. Good. Because it was very nerve-wracking leading up to that. But yes, you're right. I am not 100% honest.
But if you practice those being able to notice
the first difference.
Notice the difference that it isn't always a person who's a liar because they say, "Oh, I have plans tonight. I can't go," versus saying, "I don't want to go with you."
Right.
Sometimes that's just kind.
Or trying to be kind.
Yeah.
All right, so Cheryl laid out some really nice snacks for all of us.
Aww.
And when we part company today, I don't want to take all of them with me, but I want to take some of them with me.
That's fine. Okay. Or you'll be lucky if you can have one.
All right. Okay.
Yes. But thank you for practicing with me. Right. Yes. Okay.
I do want to take a
couple. Good example. Does a couple mean two? Because some people say couple and it might mean 3-4.
No, two.
That's a few.
Two.
Anything plus two is a few.
All right.
Okay.
she's not hopeless. There's hope.
There's definitely hope because she
Can
has.
Imagine if you were like, she's hopeless.
Yeah. And the podcast is over.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, we all are works in progress. The idea that she's the only one who needs help is not real. We all are works in progress. She has to work on herself.
And I just have the courage just to lay it all out in the line right now. Because, by the way, it's very selfishly very therapeutic for me because, like what Anne said earlier, I probably prefer doing this than having an intimate conversation with somebody and sitting and being as open as I am now.
Yeah. But I do have to give you credit that you've been processing a lot of your tough emotions in the last few months. You have been doing it, which is new for you.
Yeah. And so it's shitty, but it's better.
But it's going to get you to where you need to go.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're going to take a quick break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Welcome back, guys, to Burke in the Game, here with my therapist for 7 to 8 years. I think we've worked together now, yeah. Dr. Ann Wexler, and my podcast dad, even though he hates me saying that,
yeah.
Sam Rubin, KTLA Sam Rubin. So basically, I guess we should tell Dr. Wexler what the premise of the show is.
That would be helpful, sure.
And then ask our audience and listeners the first question that they get to.
So one thing that we are sort of kicking around now that... Now that Cheryl is quote unquote free to date, when would be a good opportunity to start doing that? And I guess the framework of the question is simply this for people who are listening. After a big breakup or after a divorce, when did you first feel comfortable going out?
How long?
Was it a week later? Yeah. Was it 6 months later? Was it a year later?
During?
No, I'm kidding. Was it 2 hours later? I think everybody has a different duration, though, don't you think?
Yes, and I bet you it's going to be different for men and women.
Men are much quicker than women.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Or it's during. I'm just kidding.
Right.
That has been your experience at times.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And okay, as we let people process that and feedback DM, and we're going to put a poll up and all these different ways to get that information that you have back to us. As we do that, you think you're never going to be ready?
No, I think I will be ready. But I think that part of this process, or let's say part of this experiment, the surrender experiment, is not just like find Cheryl a date tomorrow. No, because I'm actually not ready for dating tomorrow. Or maybe not next week. Maybe not for another few months. Maybe not for a year. I don't know. But in the process, how can I evolve into being able to date in the future, and what are those steps? And maybe the listeners could help with the guidance of that for people that, you know, other women also that have gone through what I'm going through and may currently feel the way I feel. You know, I think it's important that they know that they're not alone.
I think that is very, very well said. And as you were saying that, I was thinking of people who I know people who've done this like in a practice way. Like, you know what? I'm going to go out with you know, truly in capital letters, with just a friend, but we're going to go through the motions of a date.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to get, you know, dressed up and ready for the date and we'll go to dinner or whatever.
So that's the difference between going out with a friend and dating? it's a real question.
One thing,
Think I've ever gone on a date.
Right.
Gone on a date, what?
I don't remember ever. I don't remember the last time I went on like a date.
Oh, wow.
Well, you guys went places or did things.
Well, yes, but I mean like a date meaning like, hi, nice to meet you date.
Right.
Well, they also had 2 years of a pandemic during the relationship.
Totally. So
But you see, for some, my first job out of college, I was a magazine writer and I had an expense account. And so I had to go out to dinner anyway. And so the format of dating was really-
It was a write-off.
Was appealing to me because I was going to go to dinner- Anyway.
See, I would rather just order another meal for when I'm hungry later than go out with another person.
Right.
So maybe in terms of stepping a little out of your comfort zone, that means going out a little bit without it being a date.
You're not ready yet.
Okay. Right. That may be.
But when will I know I'm ready, actually? Like maybe I'm just being stubborn. Maybe I'm just building this fear up in my head that's part of the social phobia. But
what does your inner voice say about why you're not ready?
Because I'm not ready to give or even listen until I listen to me first. Like I haven't been filled up yet inside. I feel like the wound is still open.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And for me to pretend that I'm ready to even sit with another gender and someone I don't know who's not my friend is just not something I'm ready for.
Well, but you did say something interesting. You're not ready to give, right?
Yeah.
Because I think for you, relationships are about you giving.
Well, right.
And you don't think about relationships as you receiving.
But giving even is listening too. Like, I don't know if I'm even ready to like be curious about somebody else's life.
Right. But the thing that I think you're not aware of that you have to get your head around a little bit is that in a relationship, you get and you give.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting.
Wait, what?
So, then I have to also learn how to get.
Right. You have to open yourself up to receiving.
And there you go.
Yeah.
I remember very, 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 very vividly, and I thought, and maybe this is some aspect of the fact that she studied and trained and was a therapist. My wife used to live in Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fabulous place to walk. Yeah. So we just take these long, long walks on the Strand. And this almost sounds like a cliche, but she was like, you're looking for a soft place to land.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, am I ever? And I just thought that was like,
that's sweet.
I was so
sweet.
Struck by that phrase. And I was wow. like, oh my gosh.
Was that when you were divorced?
That was when I was divorced and dating.
And dating.
And what one thing that is, I do think gender related, and this may be gender Southern California related. I think there's a lack of quality men. I think if you're a guy, if you're 40 years old and you have a job and you have a car, you could date anybody in the universe. It's like, it's shocking how well men can do.
Or is that just the perspective that we're in the entertainment business?
Maybe it's skewed by the entertainment business.
Some good guys. Right. But I think in general, since social media and telephones or cell phones have gone, it's just people prefer just to swipe left. And I definitely don't want to do that.
Right.
I believe in men more than you do. I think there are many, many quality men in this city. And I hear women all the time say there are not enough quality men in LA. And I just feel like it's an excuse. There are many other professions here besides the entertainment.
Absolutely, right? Of course. No, and, so, yeah. And one, this is true at least in my own life. I always joke about this. I don't have any friends. I don't know anybody in show business. I cover show business.
What the? You're not my friend?
Right, no. But I'm saying, it is, and I always think to my wife's credit, she was like, and this was like 3 dates in. She goes, oh, I think I saw you on a bus board once, but I've never watched that.
She didn't
that
know show. Who you were?
No, not at all.
And that was great for you.
Less than no interest.
Really?
Which perfect. Which
I swear I know you just from hearing your voice.
Oh gosh. But I really preferred that. I thought that was good.
Yes. That would be probably impossible for you, but would be great.
I actually prefer, right. I mean, like if we're to be specific here, there is this neuroscientist that's really hot. And I'm really into studying the brain. He goes to Stanford, and that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I have noticed that I don't want to have the conversation of the same dancing conversation. Like, that's what I do for a living.
Sure.
Like, I would love to learn from my future partner.
Yeah. And by the way, that's something about you. You're
because
extremely.
Then I can respect the future partner. That's the main big thing, too.
Well,
it's hard for me.
You're very curious. You're a really curious person, and you soak up information. You read, you learn all the time. So I think it would be really great for you to have someone who knew different things and you could teach each other.
Would that annoy the shit out of me? No. I'm just like trying to figure out. Like I always said to
you're
like,
playing it out too far.
Back when my brain is on a whole nother. Like I just played out about 10 different scenes in the matter of this conversation.
Right. Wow.
So like. Or because I always thought that I wanted to maybe, oh, my trainer is kind of hot. This is like obviously before I was married and I dated my trainer and I was like, stop telling me what to fucking do, you idiot. Like,
right.
I would
but
get
he's a
really
trainer.
Mad.
That was your whole relationship.
But then maybe this is, I hope it's not like that with a neuroscientist, just like, as if I'm dating him already.
All right. Two neuroscientist asides. We have a neuroscientist on our show who all the women love.
Oh, really?
So in love.
How old is he? No,
he's a family man, but you know, people talk about hall passes or whatever. He's America's hall pass.
Oh, interesting.
Love him. Dr. John Dial. People think he's the most handsome man alive. And he's like this surgeon. I digress. But once Cheryl decides to get out there, for example, going to like a lecture about neuroscience.
I'd rather just do it on my computer.
Okay, see, I think you got...
But we're fighting at two battles here.
Right.
What are the two battles?
Social phobia and me just not being wanting to leave my house.
Well, and the social phobia piece, you have to push through because you can't
meet someone.
See,
this is when I would drink.
Okay.
No drinking.
No, obviously.
You can't meet someone and you can't date, you can't have a relationship unless you get out of your house.
Then not nowadays. People will fight you for that. Right
well,
now.
But and then the one thing though that you said as we began all this, and I think you were doing this in a self-deprecating way. Here I am in, by the way, in your very beautiful house, alone. It's just me and my dog.
Yeah.
And that to me, you said,
I don't want any visitors, people.
No, but
kidding.
You said it was sort of a negative connotation. It's like, you know, it's
It's just lonely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's lonely, and it's also. But then I've also enjoyed it. But then now I've made this. Whole house like Fort Knox because I've been paranoid like being alone here in this house, you know?
But what about stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit?
No, that's, yeah, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah, you're going to have to leave.
I actually have to. This is the whole experiment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll like it, and maybe I will throw a temper tantrum, which is highly likely, but I can still throw a tantrum and still leave the house doing it.
Well, right? And by the way, a date doesn't have to be all output, all you being funny and interesting and all of that. The other person is coming to the table with something and you don't know what that's going to be. So you're going to be going several inches out of your comfort zone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, with that, this concludes episode one.
Great.
Well done, Cheryl. You did
great.
I
quit.
No,
I'm kidding.
Can't quit yet.
You can do it.
And we're going to explain to folks watching and listening exactly how you can get much more intimately involved. Cheryl's happiness, mental health is completely in your hands.
Oh, great.
not to put
no
too
pressure.
Much on, not to put too much on anybody.
Now I could just blame everybody.
But this was fun and really interesting, Cheryl. I think you've accomplished the first goal. I think you're being very candid and very vulnerable.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This actually, I'm, like I said earlier, sweating in places I've never sweat before. but thank you, Dr. Wexler. I know that this is probably weird for you a little bit.
Different. I've never done it before.
But I learned a lot, actually.
Good.
And thank you to my podcast, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
When you're on, not on my shit list, I'll call you my big brother.
Thank you.
But thank you. Thank you, guys. And thank you to the listeners for listening to Burke in the Game.
Thanks so much for listening. Help Cheryl out. Follow us at Burke in the Game, B-U-R-K-E, Burke in the Game on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at burkeinthegame@iheartradio.com.
Thanks for listening and coming along this journey with me. If you like what you hear, then feel free to give this podcast 5 stars. You can also follow along with my journey on Instagram at Burke in the Game. And if you have any advice or want to write in, then email me at burkeinthegame@iheartradio.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.